News Hub headlines.
I was going to talk about the move here, Beetle. You want me to save it?
No, let's save that.
Let's tease it. Okay. Bit of a move for the Bruins today, and they made a move in the third period last night. Starting down 3-1, rallied back, forced overtime. Eventually, they lost in a shootout to the Winnipeg Jets there. 5-4 the final, but still pretty decent effort for Bruce Cassidy's team, especially with the atmosphere there, huh?
I think so. They were physical early. They were better than us the first 10 minutes. You know, Dobie made some good saves for us, and then we found our game. And I think part of it is we started pushing back a little bit. And that's, you know, Kevin Miller, that Corrales line, and Timmy and Noel got some hits in. Tommy Wingles, we started balancing a bit of that part of the game, and all of a sudden we had a little more room to skate and make our plays, and eventually we found our way back in it.
Bees find themselves a point behind the Lightning now with a game in hand. Lightning are going to be at the TD Garden tomorrow night as the Bruins come home from that four-game road trip. Celtics wrapping up their own four-game road trip tonight in Utah when they take on the Jazz. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call right here. 9:30 tip on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox finished off spring training, the exhibition season, with another 4-2 win over the Cubs. That's two in a row in Fort Myers yesterday. 22-9-1 there in their preseason play. They will open up the regular season tomorrow, Tropicana Field. Baseball's back tomorrow, March 29th, on a Thursday at the Trop. How about that? Headlines are brought to you by DraftKings. Enter code BOSTON to play free with your first deposit in DraftKings' $100,000 fantasy golf contest for golf's first major starting next Thursday. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports.
Matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near side Pastrnak to the corner. His dish intercepted by Tanev, but not out thanks to Bergeron. Near point now, Marchand. Rink wide, Krug. Far side. Tees it up. He scores! Torrey Krug with a blast. Top far circle. It goes by Connor Hellebuck. We're tied at 4. Hyman. He'll scramble over the line, angles right into the circle, not of the slot, head fake, shoots off the post, and this baby is final. The Bruins with a furious rally to pick up a point, but they will fall here to the Winnipeg Jets to end a four-game road trip. They end up going 2-0-2. They're heading back to Boston.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. The Bruins just fight, man. They just fight like hell. And last night they came up on the short end of it, but wow, what another wildly entertaining Bruins game last night. They made a move this morning, and I want to get right to it.
Okay.
Because I think this is
interesting,
sneaky, under-the-radar big story here.
Yeah.
The team announced today they have signed Zdeno Chara to a one-year contract extension. And you know how you typically get the financial terms were not disclosed.
Right,
and then
right,
you have to wait for someone in the media to report it.
Boom, put it right out there.
Nope, it's right out there. The team put it right in the first sentence of the press release.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara, one-year contract extension through the 2018-19 season for next year, $5 million. An additional $1.75 million in performance-based incentives.
Mm.
Sweeney and Chara will hold a press conference today at the Garden at 4:30. They're going to do a press conference for this. Are we about to see and hear Zdeno Chara telling us that next year is his final year in the NHL?
Yes. Yeah. Want to finish a Bruin. Want to finish a Boston Bruin. I don't want to go anywhere else and finish my year, just limp off into the sunset.
Based on the way Chara has played this year, this to me is a great deal for the Bruins. This is fabulous. 1 year, $5 million. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Because in your last year, you're going to be a little invigorated, too. Like, I want to go out on a good note. You know, you're going to bust your ass next year. And the guy's always in great shape, and he's healthy. you know? And the team's got enough depth now and youth to where, you know, he's not playing the minutes that he's been playing for the last 5 years. This makes all the sense in the world. It's a sneaky, quick, under-the-radar type deal that, like, oh, wow, he's going to... First thing I thought, he's retiring as a Bruin. There you go.
But I also do find it a little odd that it's not for more than a year, which odd in the sense that if he was not talking about retirement, it would have been for multiple years.
I don't know if he's even the type that would talk retirement. I just don't think he's Jaromir Jagr, where I'm just going to pack up a bag and go team to team and just see how many years I can get in.
One of those Tim Wakefield contracts that just rolls over year after
maybe.
Year after year.
Maybe. It could be. Hey. Yeah, it could be one of those
you
deals.
You know what, Z? Let's do one and see where you're at here. See where you're at. I think it's open-ended. But I think realistically, it's 70% he's retiring at the end of next year. You got a good team this year. You got a chance at another one, meaning another cup for him. And who knows what happens next year? Team should be pretty good for the next 2 years at least. Yeah, you got all your core guys signed up. Youth is great. Hey, my God, Donato. But I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think it's fair. Fair money. Considering what some guys make in that league, that's fair money for him.
I mean, he's in his 20th year in the league.
I mean,
he's been in the league 20
years. 20
years,
you want to do it, you know?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And like he's got,
and you know what's even
his
crazier?
Size, he's got to feel like crap too at times.
How long he's been here? He's been here for 12. He's in his 12th season with the Bruins.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, when you actually go back, it makes sense. Like, oh, okay, wow.
He's also the second oldest player in the league. So he's up there, man. Yeah, you say, oh, Jagr. Jagr just kept playing and playing and playing.
Oh, you get the boom, 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 and you know. Fire up the Trans Am.
That's right. I know. So that's it. Jar is back on a 1 year deal for next year. That just, it seems too easy. Like it was too easy, neat. It's all, I mean, wow. Okay, cool. Because I think all year that's kind of come up in the background. Like, oh, what about Jar for next year? Yeah, I hope he's back. Based on the way he's played, he's valuable. He's not a number one guy anymore. He doesn't give you what he could give you 7 or 8 years ago, but he's still a very valuable piece.
Seems like the type of deal that got done in 2 days. Like, it wasn't hanging out there and you're going back and forth. You know, they maybe initiate a contact, call his reps, hey, we want you to think about something. And then you get back to him, you know what? Yeah, mentioned to my client, he's receptive to this. Let's get this thing done. It's like bang, bang. This thing came out of nowhere.
He said that he wanted to keep playing. He's always said that. Never indicated that he was done, that he was close to being done. I'm just wondering if today at 4:30, when they hold this press conference over at the Garden, do we finally get a sense of that?
I think you have to ask it, and I think he's the type of guy who'll answer it. Yeah. He's not Brady. I'm going to play it on 44, 45. You know?
Well, but he's been following Brady's...
I know.
You know, some Maybe. Of Brady's ideas and regimen, and has talked about wanting to sit down with Tom Brady.
He's always been in good shape. Glad they got it done. Glad they got it done.
And by the way, Chara and McAvoy could both return for the Lightning game. Mm. For the Bruins.
It's a big one tomorrow, huh?
It's a possibility. It's not set in stone. But there's some level of hope that those two guys will be back. They could both be in that game.
We're going to be down at Star Market Studios tomorrow.
Doesn't it feel like it almost has a...
First time a playoff feel,
it,
right?
It feels like that game on Thursday is going to have some level of...
A little buzz.
Buzz.
It's like a practice run for all of us as fans and like hosts
yes.
and all that's boy, like we just get a little bit of get one under our belt.
Jim, you were even talking about the broadcast teams, you know, like alluding to, well, after this one we're back into the Eastern time zone. Hopefully we don't have to go back out to West until you know when. Like they even know.
Yeah, Jack Edwards said that this, the next time they're in the Eastern time, they're outside the Eastern time zone, it might be here in Winnipeg. In
Shoot,
late
Bob,
May
Bob something. And I catch ourselves sometimes. Well, we don't want to come back out here in January. We're going to come back to Denver. You know, when you're good, you start talking and looking forward to things, and start planning things out. But you even said too, like that Winnipeg team. Remember when it was Vancouver and it got chippy, Sedin sisters and all that. I need an enemy. I need a hate. I need a team to hate. Need that back and forth. I don't want a respectful team.
Eh. Do you want the Bruins to win the President's Trophy?
I could care less.
I don't,
because they've done it before and it hasn't worked.
Do you believe in the President's Trophy curse?
No, I don't believe in that, but I don't. I mean, I'm more worried about them getting health.
There's something weird about it, man.
Just be healthy, like when the Sox were too hot for you going into the playoffs a couple
like,
years ago.
Oh, what happened there, Jim?
Yeah, Jim, how'd that work out?
And what happened there?
David Price happened.
They got swept.
Yeah, the guy Dan Chonis, he picked to win 18 games.
Cy Young winner, Rick Porcello happened.
They got swept. They lost three in a row to the Indians.
It's not because of Porcello and Price. It's because they were too hot.
Oh, ask Carrabas if he starts believing in that yet. How he's telling them there's no way they don't go to the World Series. I said, you better hope they win a round first, bucko. And look at what happened.
Nothing to do with on the field. It was just they won too many games before the playoffs.
Sweet! It's
sweet.
The broom out.
Get out the broom! What? So you're saying you don't believe in the President's Trophy curse, huh, Jim? You're saying no such thing?
No.
I don't know.
They're going to all tighten up because they won the President's Trophy.
Something about it.
Nah, this team's so loose.
They feel like they already accomplished what they set out to for this season, so then they just pack it in.
Capitals have won it the last 2 years. They lost in the second round. Rangers lost in the conference finals. The Bruins, as we know.
Bruins get to the conference finals, I'll take that.
Fell to Montreal.
That's not choking. Conference finals is good. That's winning two rounds. I'll take that.
One team in the last 10 years that has won that, that has won it. Has won the Stanley Cup. That's not good.
And at least one other's gotten to the conference finals?
Oh, yeah, more than one. Four. I think four have.
So there's a 40% chance you get to the conference finals if you win the President's Trophy? Give me the President's Trophy. I'll take the conference finals.
So
I can work myself from there.
That's what you're setting it at? They got to win two rounds and you're okay with that? That's.
Aren't you? If this team wins two rounds in the playoffs?
If you win the President's Trophy, you got to, at a minimum, win two. You got to minimum win two rounds.
Why?
I think that this team right now, you've got to say you got to win two rounds.
Yeah.
To be considered a successful year based on
different.
What they did.
You looked at differently.
When you're good, you now have expectations. Now, they're not the. They've already exceeded our preseason expectations. They already have. So on the year, they've already done better. We know that. They're obviously heading in a very good direction. And I think they're ahead of schedule and putting things together. But in the short term, like what you think they're capable of. Well, expectations have changed a little bit for the Bruins.
Load them up.
You want to
Char extension?
You want to talk to Donato?
You have high expectations for this young Bruins team that has a ton of injuries. They need to win two rounds.
All right, let's go. President's Trophy, Char, and I want to get into Donato next.
You want to talk to Ryan Donato?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, we'll do that coming up with your calls on the Bruins.
Sweet.
Next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seven 20, Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. What do you have on your guy, Ryan Donato?
Yeah, see, Jim tried playing this back in November, just like, hey, we got to talk some Bruins here. It's hard to feel it when you play it now. Didn't work in November, it works now. This Donato kid? I mean, we all know he's good, right? Doesn't seem like the game's bigger. You know, the next level, he doesn't get consumed with it. Who's the last guy that they've had that had this type of talent that they've injected into it and sort of said, just go, kid. I mean, easy last night. Boom, you're in a shootout. Go. Anybody? Like, Sagan didn't even get. Now, Claude was different. He handled young kids differently. Understand that. It's a different regime. Sagan didn't even get these type of opportunities early. Like, of their really good young players, kind of pounced on the scene. Who's the last? Do we have to go back to Krug? Like in the playoffs? Remember off the skate, the stick handling? We're like, oh my God.
When they dropped Krug into the Rangers series and he lit the world on fire? Sure.
Yeah, like four quick goals? Yeah.
Okay.
Like that's, we got to go all the way back to that. Like it's been a while. It's going to be fun watching this kid when it's really big here. When he's 2 weeks from now, when the playoffs start. It's going to be fun seeing what they do with Donato when they get everybody back and healthy. You know, talking about McAvoy, Char, you know, pairing these guys together. When everybody's healthy. Then you eject this kid on top of it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. Wait, this kid's pretty damn good. Doesn't seem like any moment is too big for him. Seamless. Yeah, like Belichick talked about with Jimmy. Seamless. Yeah. No drop-off. Tom to Jimmy. Huh. Yeah. I guess he was right. This kid, it's seamless with this kid. He's still sleeping in the dorms? Come back now? Is he going to sleep? Is he going to sleep in a dorm or in a hotel tonight before the game?
I don't know.
Can wake up, go to training table. Hey, guys, here's a tray. I'll have two eggs, please. Oh, good to see you. Artie, what's the Harvard fight song? Again, onward we skate. Onward we skate. There all be it.
Okay, now that you have, you've seen some of what Ryan Donato is, here's a question for you, Zoe. Are you less concerned about Rick Nash's health because of Ryan Donato?
I didn't even think of Rick Nash. Yeah. Yeah, that answer is yes. Because of what this kid can do. You're not sitting there biting your nails about Rick Nash, but I don't say he's made you forget about Rick Nash, but I mean, we haven't even mentioned him, Beetle, in a week. We haven't mentioned Nash in a week. And we'll sit here and give you McAvoy updates, and we haven't even mentioned Nash.
Well, he's been hurt.
I know that, but so is McAvoy. I mean, you know what I mean? There's other guys that have been hurt. We talk about them. I'm getting close.
Well,
getting
we've only talked about McAvoy because it feels like he's getting close.
Yeah.
He could play. There's a possibility he could play tomorrow.
Yeah, the young kid special, too. Another kid that, you know, has it.
617-779-0985. Cam is in Taunton. Hey, Cam.
I'm worried about this Nash injury because, you know, you're a much better team, obviously, if he's in there. I mean, you gave up a lot for this guy. This is a legit bona fide talent. I mean, obviously, he's let down in the playoffs before, but I still, you're a much better team with him in there. And the fact that Cassidy is saying that he's got no update on this guy and they have no timetable.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think this is a really, really bad concussion, like one of those freak ones that can knock you out for months. I think that's what Nash is dealing with.
Well, he didn't say he had no update. What he said was that he is probably the furthest out from making a return to the ice out of all their injured guys, and he says he hasn't skated, hasn't been on the ice. And what we know about Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins in general right now is they're painfully honest.
Yeah.
I say painfully because if the news is not good, they pretty much tell you.
I think there's two coaches. I think he and Brad Stevens are the ones where you could read tone and the way they talk about it in a voice and as much as they give you, and you could pretty much judge where the injury is. Yeah, like Stevens with the Marcus Smart thing. Guys, realistically, I mean, come on. When he comes back, he's playing basketball, and he's going to have a brace on his hand, on his shooting hand and his dribbling hand, okay? So, I mean, it's not an average Joe thing. These are NBA players. But what it does is buys you time now. Right? You're able to push this thing off. You got another good 3 weeks to get right.
Pat's in the car on the Zdeno Chara contract extension. Hey, Pat.
Patty.
Hey, guys. What's up, Zoll?
Hey.
Neck of the woods here, Rustham area.
Nice.
I'm cruising in the truck, you know?
Sweet. I love trucks.
Yeah, I got a crew over here working. I'll have to check on them. But as far as Grzelcyk goes, what did we find out about him? Anything?
Grzelcyk? No.
No. Last night I had a source tell me they were in contact. Somebody close to Grzelcyk said he'd be fine.
Really?
All
right. Oh, get to Mr. TV guy.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Late night TV, I saw him.
You heard that from a hockey source?
Hockey source. So, a source close to Grzelcyk. How's that?
Look at you. Breaking news.
Who told you he's going to be just fine?
Going to be fine.
What was the injury? I mean, lower, but what was the lower?
God, I was nonchalant about it.
Can you give me...
See that?
Below the abdominal hoof section.
So it's a body injury.
He got...
I thought Jack was going to lose his mind on that hit.
Got into the boards right at the end of the second, right?
Just a nasty, dirty play. Gross. Unnecessary, you know... Full on.
This Winnipeg team's got some dicks on it, don't
low,
they?
Went up high, you know, pushed him, you know, directly into the glass. Just unnecessary.
This is kind of what we need in the finals.
They gave him two goals, though. They gave him two goals.
It's the longest power play in history.
They got the goal on the major, and then they challenged the goal, and they were down a man because they lost the challenge, so they got another goal on top of it.
Yeah. Pat, what did you have on Chara?
So I'm good with the Chara saying. I'll take him for another year for sure. You know, I think he's great in the locker room with the guys, the younger guys for sure. And I also think that some of that stuff might not have gone down last night with, you know, you could tell Miller was trying to police it a little bit out there, but things were definitely getting out of hand.
All right. I'm on board. I don't know anyone that would. I'm looking for a negative in this. I can't find one.
Miller had crazy eyes last night when that guy hit happened. He wanted to get at him so bad, but he couldn't. He wasn't allowed to.
Crazy eyes. I heard that one in a while.
I can't find a negative.
Here's Johnny
in the Chara deal. I think it's a slam dunk.
No brainer.
Yes.
Glad he's open and accepting to it.
Speaking of penalties, how'd you like the officiating in the game last night? Did you like that? Jack did not. What do you got for us?
Well, first and foremost, hockey in Canada is great because that was a great, you know, that was a great atmosphere last night in that game. Two good teams, you know, trying to make their way to the playoffs. But that was one of the worst officiated games of the year by far. I mean, the goal call, the Bruins basically spotted him a goal and then lost by a goal in the end. So, like, the officials really blew that call. And that, I mean, that was evident. It's not even worth talking about. But then the second goal that they gave up there, where they should have had an icing call, and they, again, like, you know, just on to the next one. It was awful, awful officiating. But, like, that wasn't even really what I called. For the most part, I wanted to mention Donato is an excellent player on that team. But like you were saying about Rick Nash, like, I want Rick Nash in the lineup, but, like, Donato's skills are very impressive for a young guy. He's got a great nose for the net. He's one of those guys who just finds his shot and gets it through. It seems like every time he shoots at the net, he got a chance to put the puck in the net, which, like, people used to say that about Vetrano, but, like, right off the bat, Donato's going to be a great player to keep in the lineup. Good for the Bruins for picking up good young players, because, I mean, if you look at their roster between McAvoy, Grizzlick's going to be a big loss on D, but, like, Carlo's playing well. They're doing great drafting young players, and as a team and as an organization, without Claude, I feel like they've done a lot. This is a really good team we're watching, and I expect them to at least make the conference finals.
Whoa.
But if they make the Stanley Cup, I think they've got a good chance to win. The way they play, four lines, they're relentless. It doesn't matter who's on the ice. They don't give you an inch of space, and they're going to be somebody that you're going to have to contend with. It's just going to – the biggest thing is going to be once you get to the playoffs, it's a different brand of hockey. And some of these young guys, they may have seen a little bit of, you know, serious competition, but they may be in for a rude awakening.
All right, if we could go back to the goal that they reviewed, the first goal of the game, first period. Did you think it was a goal? Did the replay show it was a goal?
I wouldn't have thought it was a goal until you saw Hudobin let in one just like it on the same side in the same spot of the goal, right up against the left post, like up against his skate underneath the left leg pad later on in the game. I would think, no, Hudobin wouldn't let that one in. Well, he did later in the game.
Well, I think he talked about that.
Maybe that was the spot to get him in that.
Hudobin talked about it. I think he had a good beat on that thing because he had his ass up against the pole. He talked to it. Go ahead, Jim, play it.
Wasn't. I'm pretty sure that wasn't in because my ass was there and my glove was there.
His ass was there and his glove was there.
I'm pretty sure. Which, I'm sorry, it's not necessarily true because his left leg was inside the net.
So not his ass.
Not his ass.
Eyes.
Oh, his eyes.
His eyes?
You sure it sounded like
ass? Why do we care where his eyes are?
Yeah, where's his ass?
Why do we care about the eyes? Here's what I think. There's nothing on video that showed that was a goal. Nothing. There's just no evidence. There's also no evidence to show that it didn't go in. The replay on this one, it's rare to get a replay where you say, that shows nothing. But based on where Hudobin reaches his glove back into the net, my first thought was, oh, it's a goal, but the evidence is not good here.
Mm.
I thought it was a goal. I don't think that was some horrible, you know, awful mistake by the officials on that first goal based on where the glove was reaching back into the net and the leg is back into the net. But there's nothing that shows it. You can look at it from every single angle, and it will not show you where the puck is. It's amazing. That doesn't happen very often, where there is not even a little bit, not even one angle that shows you a little something. You could look from six different angles and see nothing on that goal last night. Thought that was a hard one. 617-779-0985. There's another head coach in the NHL talking about the Bruins, not the team the Bruins played last night. Nope. Could be a team looking ahead. Want to hear from Mike Babcock?
Yes.
Yes.
Next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Tory Krug and the Bruins found themselves down two goals to start the third period last night. But as we were just talking about, taking advantage of some penalty and some power plays there allowed them to get back into it last night in Winnipeg.
Coming into the intermission, we knew we had a five-minute power play to take advantage of and get ourselves back into the game, and we did. So emotions like that definitely get you back into the game for sure.
Ended up only salvaging a point as they lost 5-4 in a shootout to the Jets last night, but wrapped up the road trip with that point. They are now 1 point behind the Lightning with the game in hand. The Lightning come to town tomorrow night, take on the Bruins at the TD Garden. As for the Celtics, they wrap up their Western road trip tonight when they play the Utah Jazz, 9 o'clock pregame. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe with a story today saying that Marcus Smart's cast has been replaced by a small splint, and he's targeting a second-round playoff return. Headlines are brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did. Start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser, 866-77-LASER. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
So Boston's creeping up on Tampa. Yeah, I mean, I watched Boston's. I was watching Nashville and Winnipeg last night. It was awesome. I just loved watching. It was unbelievable how good they were in both power plays. And then I turned over to watch Mini in Boston. And then I saw Boston make about 15 plays in 3 minutes on the power play, or 2 minutes on the power play. And so I just shut it off. I was just getting.
You know, if the season ended today, it would be Bruins-Leafs, correct? That's the current matchup. First round. Playoffs begin April 11th. And we could see Mike Babcock in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he thinks the Bruins are really, really good. Turned him off.
Brutally honest.
Just turned him off.
Watch 15 plays in 2 minutes?
You think he's mentally preparing himself, Jim? Do you think this adds to whatever happens if these two teams meet?
I think it's gamesmanship. You guys are great. We can't beat you.
Little of that going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Head games. All right.
I don't know.
Head
games.
I love it. Love head games.
So Marchand said. He responded on Twitter to the video.
Dude, he's so active on Twitter. Like, some of these guys check it and put stuff out, but they'll use it to promote certain things. He goes back and forth with people. Some girl got on him like last week about his nose. And he goes, your eyes are too far apart on your head.
He said, if your eyes were any further apart, you could see behind you.
That must be an awesome trash talker on the ice if you're saying that on Twitter.
Exactly. To a girl. The girl match what he tells dudes.
Oh, man. I love the kid. Love it.
Your eyes are any further apart than the back of your head. The ugly ass nose. He hates getting his nose made fun of. We're getting there. It's starting to get some juices flowing, man.
Why? Because Marchand's telling girls on Twitter that they...
You start to talk about pairings, you know, this guy coming back, this guy, Babcock talking about him. Like, a little chippiness last night from Winnipeg. It's going to be good. We're getting there. Feels like hockey. Feels like hockey playoffs are... You know, this game's got juice tomorrow night. 1 point back. It's for first. Ooh, you don't want the President's Trophy jinx. Ooh.
No, I don't want that.
You really don't
want that. It's bad.
I can't care
Mark
less.
And Medford, yeah. You want that President's Trophy?
You want that, Mark? You want it?
Listen, enough with the President's Trophy jinx, guys, okay? Look at the bright side of this. If the Bruins win the division, let Toronto and Tampa beat the crap out of each other, okay? One of them's going to get eliminated. And I hope it's Toronto because we own Tampa. And on the Rick Nash thing, listen, the Bruins weren't worse off before they got Nash. They were damn good. So with Nash being there, with not being there, they didn't get any worse. So I think with Donato in there, I think they're going to be fine even if Nash doesn't come back.
Okay.
Not convinced we own Tampa Bay.
Also not convinced that it's like, oh, no big deal. Rick Nash isn't coming back. Nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you don't need him.
Yeah, no, I am a little bit concerned about that. Does it make you feel better? That was how I put it. Does it make you feel better that you have Donato, given the Nash injury? Sure, it makes you feel better. It has to, because of the offensive talent that Ryan Donato possesses. It helps you fill the gap, fill the void.
Rather have them both healthy and make that a coach's decision.
Yep. Rather have both of them available is what I would rather have. Jim and Beverly on Zdeno Chara's one-year extension. Hi, Jim.
Hey, we say, Mark. What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
So, when I heard you talking about the signing earlier, and before you give the dollar amount, I'm thinking, $3-4 million? I think this is a great signing for both of them. $5 million, nice price for 1 year. And let's face it, you got a shot at the Cup this year. You'll have probably a better shot next year with these young guys having a year. This guy could go out with two cups, maybe even three, if he sticks around for another year. I love the signing.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I don't know what his plans are. I think we might get a better understanding of that later today.
Yeah, it's kind of odd you'd have the press conference, right, instead of just announcing, hey, we're signed to a one-year extension. Yeah, why are you doing a press conference? What's there to say? The guy's done a lot for you. Yeah, great leader. Yeah, maybe give him his due. Maybe that's it. It's got to be it. First thing I thought, got to be it. I wanted to sign this because I want to retire abroad. I don't want to wear another sweater. You know? I think that's what you're going to hear. Was that 4:30?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's not that. Maybe we're just reading too much into it.
Yeah.
Maybe it has nothing to do with it at all.
Correct.
And we'll find that out today.
Yep.
But the deal itself is a good one. It's good for the Bruins. Let's go to Christian in Foxborough. Christian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
What do you guys think about this new rule with the NFL leading with the crown of the helmet? Do you think that's going to make things better or worse?
Well, I don't know how it's going to be implemented. That's the biggest question we had when we talked about it today. How do they use it?
We need more definitive, you know, black and white, you know, what it is and what it isn't. Is it an offensive guy? Is it a defensive guy? Are you going to take out quarterback sneaks because you use your helmet? Or do you have to intently hit a guy that is defenseless and use your head as a battering ram? That's kind of seems where it's going to, right? Because you're not going to be able to sit there. If they said that there were clearly 5 to 10 plays from the entire year, not a game. See, man, we're under the assumption it's going
to
be flagged.
5 to 10 ejections is what they said. That doesn't mean 5 to 10 flags.
Sure.
I don't know. We have to know how they're going to put it in play. Okay. I think this will be a much better talker and topic when we get to September.
Right. And you actually have some plays we can talk about.
Yes.
Like with the Brandon Cooks knockout in the Super Bowl. That obviously is an ejection.
No, I don't think it is.
That's helmet to helmet, and he's defenseless.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that's what they're talking about.
Wow.
I don't know that's an automatic ejection.
I don't know what a helmet hit is. Then.
I know that's a flag. Yeah. I don't know that that's an ejection.
Like, you knocked him out. Like, it's like hockey. You know, what are you going to wait and see if the guy gets carried out or doesn't return? Then, you know, you're getting ejected.
Coming up next, we'll be talking with the head coach of the Boston Celtics. That is Brad Stevens. In an hour from now, we're giving away a Callaway driver.
Oh, this thing's legit.
Giveaway you don't want to miss.
It's a good one, right?
At 12:50. It is a Callaway brand new Rogue driver from Callaway. That is at 12:50. Brad Stevens next.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's go to the expert hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens. Hey, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Doing well, coach. How you doing? No more injuries, right?
Man, it's been quite a run. Morris twisted his ankle in the end of the third quarter the other night, so he's out tonight. And then we'll go from there, but one of the things these guys have done a good job of is just staying the course, and next guy stepped up.
Worst thing about the Google machine, and I don't even know if you have time to even go on the internet, but we've Googled tension wire in the patella of the knee and how dicey that can be, and understand why he has some discomfort now. Fair to say that you guys maybe dodged a bullet here, just depending on how he's going to come out of, you know, the surgery and feel as the weeks go on a 3 to 6, I know you termed it 3 to 6, but that's best case scenario for Kyrie, correct?
that's best case scenario, and that's returning to basketball activities. So whatever that means, you know, is obviously there's a lot that's up in the air there. So number one priority is his health and making sure that he feels 110% when he is able to resume and return to that. And, you know, in the meantime, he's really, hurting because I talked to him yesterday. He wants to be with us. He wants to be playing. He wants to be, feeling great about that. And it's hard when you're not. And our guys, that's part of sports, and, we will, prioritize his health and his recovery, and the guys that are available, get way more opportunity.
Do you have any sense of what the timeline is from the end of the surgery happening, which just happened last weekend, going from the rest stage and, healing stage to actual, rehab and movement and getting back to physical activity related to the knee?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't talked to our doctors or training staff about that exact question, just because I focused more on the 3 to 6 week time frame that we were initially given.
Are you or anybody with the team, including Kyrie, worried about any long term knee problems, or is this simply
no?
This is
not
now-
if, not if okay. I mean, obviously everything that he's doing now and is to help him get to 110%.
So as it relates to this thing going back to 2015, is this the end of the road for that for him? Does he think this is the end? He's not going to need any more surgeries related to it.
Well, I don't. That's a question that, to be honest with you, I'm not really in the know on. So I would say that we feel really good about how his knee looks structurally and everything else that goes with it. And I think he feels great about that. But at the end of the day, since I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to try to predict the future. But the tension wire was obviously causing some discomfort, and that's why they removed it.
Yeah, I mean, you've been pretty clear with us on timetables too, because you go the extra length to say, hey, this is the NBA, and we're talking about real basketball here, that we need to get them to basketball ready shape. And sometimes when you put timelines on things, a guy gets tagged as not being tough because he can't beat the 3 week time. Same thing with Marcus Smart. You were clear with us, after the injury on that. Update on him. Now the cast is off. He's got a brace, so it's sort of progressing here.
Yeah, I mean, it's progressing. But again, I think the difference is, guys, it's 3 to 6 weeks, Kyrie, to resume basketball activities. It's 6 to 8 for Smart from the day of the surgery to resume basketball activities with a splint on his thumb. So, there's a lot of unknown there. And I can tell you this from being around both those guys, and I think you can tell just from watching them play, that they're tough. Those guys are tough dudes who want to compete. They want to play. They'd do anything to be out there. That's not a question. The question is can they get back to being 100% so that they can play well and be at their very best. That's all that you'd be shooting for in their return. Obviously, Smart would be a little bit limited because of the splint. But we'll see how that all shapes out over time. But, I don't know the exact date of his surgery off the top of my head, but, when you look at a 6 to 8 week time frame, you're into the playoffs, before he even resumes activities.
8 games remaining on your schedule in the regular season. At what point do you start thinking about the playoffs? Just thinking about it.
When we clinched it a couple weeks ago. So I think that, obviously we are focused game to game. We're focused on the game plan and getting ready to play the very best we can. Inevitably, over the next 8 games, though, we'll be, obviously without Morris tonight, and we will probably look for opportunities to rest other guys at some point over these next 8 games.
You start.
I think at the end of the day, as we've looked at it, our health is really important. Because we're so banged up otherwise. If we were sitting with a, and obviously Gordon hasn't been, we knew that he wasn't going to be a part of, as far as playing this a long time ago. But with, you know, with the recent injuries to Tice, to Smart, and obviously Kyrie, I think that we have to prioritize our health.
As it relates to the playoffs, have you at all started to look at the standings or see what potential matchups might be there for you?
Sure. And, I mean, I think the East is a little bit, you know, more predictable from the standpoint of who's at least going to be in. I mean, obviously, you know, Detroit and Charlotte still could catch teams in theory, but there's so few games left that you're probably looking at the eight teams that are in there, or at least the most likely eight. And then, you know, hey, you know, we can all try to go through what we think is going to happen over the next eight games, but that's why they play the game. And you're probably, you know, you could be playing any of two, three, four teams. So you just kind of wait and see how it plays itself out. But our focus is not necessarily on opponent in the playoffs. It's about us. And, you know, we've been playing pretty well, albeit shorthanded here recently. And I think that the deal is what do we need to do to go into to be ready to play in the playoffs with the group we have? That's our focus, because there's things that we're going to have to do offensively and defensively with this group to maximize this group in the event that we don't add anybody.
Yeah, I go back to the time, too, where you're sort of, you know, getting that flow where you had you know, Marcus and Rozier coming off the bench, but you got to be so happy with what Rozier has given you over the last couple weeks.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Him and Marcus Morris both, I mean, they're the way that they were playing, and, you know, obviously I think you probably were meeting Marcus Smart coming off as a guard together, but the way that those guys were playing off the bench right after the All-Star break, they've just continued as they've been into the starting lineup. And so, you know, it's been really positive. Terry's made great jumps, and, you know, hey, we're entering this stretch run with a third-year 23-year-old Terry Rozier, a second-year 21-year-old Jaylen Brown, and a first-year 20-year-old Jason Tatum is our 1, 2, and 3, and it's really exciting how those guys are playing. Like, I'm excited about what they're bringing to the table every single night, because it's not about doing it once. It's about showing that you can be consistent. And I think those guys are in a position where they've shown that they're capable of that, which is exciting.
What do you think the ceiling is for Terry? Because a lot of people that we talked to fans about Terry Rozier, and we always hear the oh, yeah, so much potential. And recently we've been saying more, no, what do you mean potential? This guy can really play. And you talk about jumps. You just said that. You know, he's made big jumps. How many more big jumps do you think he could make?
I don't think my job as a coach is to put ceilings on people. So, you know, we'll see where it all ends up. But he's a really good player that has gotten better every single day. When we drafted him, you know, we had a ton of guards, but Danny was dead sold, and you can see why on his athleticism, competitiveness, and work ethic. And if the more that you're around him, the more you see guys like that, especially with his level of athleticism, they don't take baby steps, they take jumps. And, you know, it's exciting to see. Again, that was I thought Danny drilled that one early on. He knew he was on Terry early on in that draft, and you know, we think highly of you know, not only the steps he's taken, but, you know, at where we think he can go.
All right, Celtics tonight in action at Utah. Coach, thanks for the time as always.
All right, guys, take care.
See you, Coach.
Brad Stevens with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Some interesting stuff there. The Smart thing stands out to me is that's...
You're getting Kyrie back before Smart.
That's not exactly thought of as a short-term deal.
He's been clearing that twice.
He's like, just remember, guys, yeah. 6 to 8 to basketball activities with a brace on.
With
his hand.
A brace.
I think they're really tempering our expectations.
And these are two tough SOBs, right? Two tough SOBs. So
it's a little concerning that he doesn't know what basketball activities are. I was kind of relying on him to let us know what
I didn't
those
take
are.
His answer that way.
No,
I took it as...
Well, he was joking. He's like, he can resume basketball activities, whatever that means.
Is that like
well, I think it's because it's different for every player, right. Is what I thought, what I took right. That to mean.
I mean, but he seems to be okay at least with not knowing that part of it. But yeah, you can tell he's concerned when, you know, when he was trying to backdate Marcus Smart's surgery, which I believe is March 12th. I want to say that was the day he had it done. But he's holding firm. He's you know, talked about that recovery time. Like, no, you can set your watch by that. It's you know, just because he's out of the cast and into the splint and all that stuff, that doesn't mean anything. We're still 6 to 8 weeks. That's what that means.
617-779-0... 16th,
March 16th was the surgery.
There you go. 0985, that is the phone number for you. We actually wanted to get to something else that was Celtics-related on Ray Allen. He did a pizza review with Dave Portnoy. We're actually going to get to that coming up next. Also, some Red Sox items coming up in the noontime hour as well. 90 seconds, don't go anywhere.